When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Thursday. I hope your week is going well. We're getting towards the weekend, nearly halfway through the international break. Arsenal versus Manchester City at the Etihad. Now just, 11 days away, is it? My God, how big is that game going to be? We'll certainly start building up to that from next week. But we are still in that first week of the international break. The games start tonight. Some Arsenal players are in action. So we'll take a look at that a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk about Victor Gyökeres. Of course, been heavily linked with a potential move to Arsenal in the summer. He's been speaking about his future and all the speculation linking him with moves to clubs like Arsenal. Got plenty of questions and comments from you guys as well. So let's get stuck into it, shall we? And we'll start with Gyökeres, who... he's certainly dominating a lot of the headlines right now, given his unbelievable form, his unbelievable season he is enjoying for Sporting Lisbon. Understandably, he has been linked with a host of top clubs ahead of the summer transfer window, including Arsenal, who we know will be targeting a striker once the window does open in just a few months' time. Now, Gyökeres, I think he's on about 33 goals now this season in about 36 games, something like that, give or take. A couple either way. Incredible debut season. You think this is only a year ago he was playing in the Championship at Coventry, doing brilliant things for them, getting them so close to the Premier League, just missing out in that playoff final to Luton. Got his big move to Sporting Lisbon on the back of his form for Coventry and has just gone up another level so far this season with that goal tally. And understandably, as I say, been linked with a lot of top clubs, including Arsenal. He's been speaking while he's over on his international duty with Sweden. He's been speaking about all the speculation, he's been asked about it by the Swedish press, how it makes him feel. And he says, it's a sign that I've performed well, but it's not something I take too seriously since it's just speculation. But of course, it's fun. We'll see this summer. It's not something I know about myself what will happen. I enjoy sporting extremely well and feel no stress about the summer coming quickly. It is clear that what I have done has attracted attention, but it is not really my focus in everyday life. But of course, it's fun that I have fans who appreciate what I've done. And he has got, the world's at his feet, really, Gyökeres. Whether he gets a big move this summer or not, if he stays in Portugal, I'm sure he'll have another fantastic season in Portugal. He's got a release clause that's about £85 million. Now, I know lots of you, and I read the comments, lots of you keep mentioning him. Whenever we're talking about summer transfer targets and who we'd like to see potentially arrive at Arsenal, lots of you in the comments talk about Gyökeres, which understandably so. I haven't watched him loads, I have to admit. Like, I don't sit there and watch Sporting Lisbon week after week, but when I have watched him, I've been really, really impressed with him. The goals he's scoring, the sort of different type of goals he's scoring as well. He's really strong, he's direct, he's fast, clearly an excellent finisher given the amount of goals he's scored this season. So he certainly does tick an awful lot of boxes. He's in that sort of prime age now. I think he's 25 for a striker. you know, getting towards his best years. The only reservations I have, and I'm not sure it's really a reservation, I suppose it's just a slight fear more than anything else, is just that we haven't really seen, for that sort of money, 85 million, you know, you want to see, you want quite a bit of proof that he can handle it at the very top level. But we've just seen one season, basically, of him in Portugal. And that's not to say you can't make the step up. He can't move to a club like Arsenal and immediately hit the ground running there. But there's very little evidence to really back it up. You know, you kind of want to see him do it for 2-3 years, maybe, or make a move somewhere else. But, you know, sometimes that's not possible. And if you do make the move somewhere else and he goes to another big club, then suddenly that £85 million, which seems a lot of money now, if he hits the ground running at another big club, then suddenly you're probably going to have to double that given the way transfer fees are going. So it's an interesting one. You know, I've said my piece, you know, I'd love an Alexander Isak, someone like that, but I wouldn't be against Gyökeres, but I'd certainly have my reservations about spending that sort of money on someone who we just have a relatively small sample size in terms of what he can do and at what level he can perform at. I'm sure lots of you have seen more of him than I have, certainly judging by the comments of the amount of you who think he would be a good signing for Arsenal. You know, it seems like lots of you have seen a lot more than I have. So I'd love to know what you guys think about Gyökeres. Why, if you think he's the man, if you think he's worth investing £85 million in, then please do let me know in the comments below. But I just can't, there's just that nagging feeling in my head that I just haven't seen enough of him and he hasn't shown it enough at the top level to warrant spending that amount of money on. I think it would definitely be defined as a risk if you do that. Most transfers are a risk, obviously, but I think this one especially would be a risk if you're spending that sort of money. You know, when Arsenal spend big on a striker this summer, which I expect they will do, you're kind of in that area where they have to get it right. They can't waste a massive amount of money on someone who is just not going to work out. And I think with Gyökeres, there would be quite a few question marks about whether it would work out or not, potentially more than other strikers who we've seen do it at a higher level on a more consistent basis, if you see what I mean. So that's just my thoughts on it, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it as well. So do let me know in the comments below whether you think he would be the guy that Arsenal should be targeting this summer. Right, moving on to the international break. If you're watching on YouTube, you can picture there of Declan Rice training for England. Interestingly, there was no Bukayo Saka in training yesterday. So while Declan Rice was out on the pitch it's Lewis Dunk, isn't it? Well, Rice and Ramsdale were out on the pitch. Bukayo Saka was back in the gym going through a sort of carefully constructed, routine, whatever you want to call it, by the England medical staff. It's not supposed to be anything serious, and the expectation that he will start joining in with the group again either today or tomorrow. But for yesterday, they were just taking a little bit of sort of careful measures with Bukayo Saka, and he was alongside Harry Kane, I think, and a couple of other England players. They were just doing their own little work, bits of work in the gym away from the main group. So we'll wait and see. I think Gareth Southgate might be speaking today, so we might get a little bit of an update on exactly why that decision was taken with Bukayo Saka, but hopefully it's nothing serious. And from what we understand, it is nothing serious. So he should be back out training soon. Some Arsenal players in action for the first time tonight. Jakub Kivior, he plays against Karl Heine, actually. It's Poland versus Estonia later on today in a playoff for Euro 2024. Zinchenko's in action as well against Bosnia. Again, that's a Euro 2024 playoff. Jorginho in a friendly against Venezuela. So the international games begin tonight. Fingers crossed everyone can come through those unscathed. Then we've got Martin Odegaard in action tomorrow when Norway take on the Czechs, and then David Raya playing Colombia on Friday night at the London Stadium. I've only just spotted that now. Why is that being played at the London Stadium? That's a bit odd. Spain versus Colombia. Why isn't that being played in Spain? Saves on the travel time anyway for David Raya, I guess. So those are the upcoming international games over the next 48 hours. Then you've got the big England versus Brazil game, of course, on Saturday at Wembley, which should be a cracker. Right, so some news ahead of the Bayern Munich game, which is what, about 3 weeks' time now? Interesting injury news coming out of Bayern, or certainly coming out of Germany, who Manuel Neuer was with the squad, but he's had to go back to Munich now after picking up what's been described as an abductor injury. So a statement from the German national team said Manuel Neuer left early due to a torn muscle fibre in his left abductor and is out of the two upcoming international matches. Now, we don't know too much more than that, but with the Bayern Munich versus Arsenal game fast approaching, that's certainly one that Arsenal fans will be keeping an eye out on if Neuer is indeed going to be available for Munich in that game. Sacha Boey, Bayern Munich's left-back, who they signed in January from Galatasaray, a player Arsenal were heavily linked with before he went to Bayern Munich. Looks like he's going to be out of that game as well. Munich announcing yesterday that he has picked up an injury and is going to be out for some time. So it looks like they'll be without Sacha Boey and potentially Manuel Neuer for the Arsenal game. So we'll wait and see on that. Harry Kane, of course, still struggling with that ankle injury, but I would certainly say he's going to have enough time to get back fit in time for the two Champions League games. But yeah, interesting news nonetheless. And we'll have to wait and see what other injury news we will get during the international break. Hopefully none for Arsenal players. But as much as I don't wish injury on anyone, you know, a not serious injury for a couple of the Bayern lads, wouldn't be against that, I have to say. Okay, moving on to a little bit of transfer news. Interesting one, this as well. On the back of the Braden Clark move, who Arsenal signed, obviously, the Welsh international Braden Clark here after his release from Wolves. Well, not released from Wolves. He didn't sign a new contract with Wolves. There was lots of clubs in for him. He signed for Arsenal, made his debut at the weekend against Crystal Palace for the under-18s. And now on the back of that deal, Arsenal are about to sign, I've got to get this pronunciation right. I think it's pronounced Carder O'Neill. He's 15. Coming in from Northern Ireland, just getting the details on him here. He plays for, I think it's Linfield, isn't it? He plays for, and he's apparently going to be signing for Arsenal at the end of the season. 15-year-old sort of midfielder stroke attacker. He has been on trial at Arsenal. He went and played at an under-17s game in the Flamengo Adidas Cup in Brazil. I think that was earlier. I think it might be near the end of last year rather than the start of this year. But he is signing. There's reports coming out of the Belfast Telegraph that he is going to sign for Arsenal and they've won the race for him. Apparently, lots of clubs have been looking at him. Now, why I say this is interesting, it's just another move in the sort of youth transfer market that Arsenal are making. Now, we're going to see a little bit of change when it comes to Arsenal. Well, we already are seeing with this deal, with the one for Braden Clark, you know, Arsenal have got a little bit of money behind them for the first time in a while to sort of refresh things at academy level and make some signings. And we're already seeing that happen. Obviously, with the Brexit rules that have come in, it's a lot harder to go and buy players from abroad now and bring in the best talent from abroad and put them into the system. And so, it's, you know, when you look at the two signings Arsenal made already, one from Wales, now one from Northern Ireland, you're very much looking at the more domestic market. There is the opportunity to do stuff from further afield as well, like South America. But there's sort of EU rules now that Arsenal used to be able to work with and certainly used to their advantage when you looked at some of the signings. They used to bring in, like, obviously Fabregas is the main one, but Lupoli, all those sort of players. We're seeing a little bit of a change now. And I think it's quite interesting that these two deals have been done. And I think it's going to be quite an exciting summer in terms of not just what Arsenal senior team do in a transfer market, but what they're going to do at youth level as well. Because they do need to refresh things a little bit. It's been a long time since they've put a little bit of investment into actually bringing players in from outside of the club rather than just focusing on the system and the players who are already in their club, who have been sort of spotted from the local ranks. So, yeah, this is an interesting one. Cedar O'Neill, 15 years old, going to come in as a first-year scholar. Can't sign professional forms, obviously, until 17. Ethan Manieri turned 17. I think it's today where it was yesterday. So it wouldn't be, I'd be expecting an announcement on him signing his first professional contract very soon, with Arsenal having seen off interest from, well, Man City, Chelsea, and pretty much everyone who wanted to sign him. So, yeah, Cedar O'Neill, the latest player to come in by all accounts.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, moving on to some of your questions and comments. Nostradanus 86, is there any updates on Kozie Adubi contact shorts? Nothing that I can give you, I'm afraid. I've not heard anything in terms of how those have progressed. Have to wait and see on it. Arsenal certainly want him to stay, but whether they can keep him out of the clutches of a lot of clubs who are also circling for Kozie Adubi, we'll have to wait and see. What is your opinion on Smith Rowe? Partey's contract ends in 25, freeing up his weekly £200,000 plus wages. Seems logical now, given his fitness concerns. With Smith Rowe's deal ending in 26, while on 40,000 per week, 60,000 less than fellow Highlanders in Nketiah and Nelson, do we just look again to sell from our academy to maximise profits yet again? Or do we also accept a mouthwatering bid from one of our star players, given our two highest players' sales have been Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to Liverpool and Nicolas Anelka, 30 million to Real Madrid a quarter of a century ago? I'm not sure Anelka is still the second highest paid player. He wasn't 30 million either. I think he was about 23 million, Anelka, wasn't he? I think there's been some others. It's been Oxlade-Chamberlain, but Iwobi, I think, was certainly more than... and Balogun actually were more than Anelka. I'm pretty sure they were. In terms of Smith Rowe, look, I still think this summer he's probably going to go. I'll be surprised if he's still at Arsenal next summer. At the end of next summer and at the start of the new season, just because, obviously, like you said, his contract's beginning to run down. And I'm just not sure we've seen enough from Arsenal or from Arteta this season to suggest that Smith Rowe is going to get too many minutes if he stays at Arsenal, and if they continue to sign players and continue to improve the squad, is Smith Rowe going to get enough minutes? And I think I love Emil Smith Rowe. I want him to stay. I want him to be a success at Arsenal. But if he's just going to sit on the bench and barely play, I don't see the point in keeping him. It's hurting him. It's hurting his career. He needs to go out and play. He needs to, he's a really good player. He can establish himself as an excellent Premier League player. I have no doubt about that. And if he's not going to do that at Arsenal, then he should go and do it somewhere else because he deserves it, in my opinion. So, if a offer comes in that is good, then, the Arsenal may as well accept it. If they're not going to play him, if Arteta's not going to play him, then they may as well accept some money. Let him go on and have the career that he deserves. And also you can invest that money in a player you clearly would trust more to play more, because it just feels right now that Arteta doesn't have that much trust in Emil for whatever reason, which is unfortunate, but it just looks like the case. And so what's the point of keeping him around? It's hurting Arsenal because you've got a player that you're not using that much, who's taking up a squad place. And it's certainly hurting Emil, who's a fantastic player who deserves to be playing. And if he's not playing that at Arsenal, then I think Arsenal may as well just look to cash in, make some profit. Obviously, like you said, Highlander boys, so it'll go down on pure profit on the balance sheet, which is in modern day football now, we all know, is a very good thing and helps with getting through profit and sustainability rules. So it just makes sense to me. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Emil, which is unfortunate. As I said, I'd love for him to stay, but I just don't really see the point of it right now because he's just not playing enough. Brian says, hi, Charles. I feel that Zinchenko should be moved on. I don't know what it is about him, but I've never taken to him. I feel his impact has been massively overstated given the amount of football he missed last season pre-World Cup. He had a few good games, but was not the transformational signing we are led to believe. After the World Cup, he was either injured or quite poor. Same again this season. Maybe it's because I really like KT, but I do actually think we are a better team without Zinny. I feel there is an agenda sometimes in Arsenal media to defend or overpraise certain players. Like if he had a bad game, he has a bad game. We don't need to be reminded after every one of his qualities. This is not done for any other player, not aimed at you, by the way, as you are always really objective. I don't know about that. I think Zinchenko is a really good player, and I think he has been really important to this Arsenal rebuild. As I said yesterday, I think it's quite interesting, while he's been out with this license absence, that we've seen Arsenal shift away from the inverted left-back role to the inverted right-back role, with White taking on that duty and doing it really, really well, I think it's really interesting to see what happens now Zinchenko is back fit. Has Arteta in his mind almost moved away from the reliance he had on Zinchenko? Because Now, I was surprised he didn't play against Porto because I'm so used to when he's fit, Arteta plays him. You know, he finds him really, really appealing. He finds it really difficult to leave Zinchenko out. So whatever some people think of him, Arteta loves him and he wants him in his team. So I was surprised he didn't play against Porto. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the next 10 games. You know, do we see Arsenal stick with this sort of formula that they now have with White as the inverted fullback and continue with, you know, Kvyat or Tomiyasu at left back rather than Zinchenko? But I think Zinchenko's still got an awful lot to offer. You look at his numbers, they're really, really impressive. They really are. What he brings to this Arsenal team, it's undeniable in my mind. Yes, there's a few defensive deficiencies there. I think a lot of them have been overblown, though. And I think, again, when you look at the numbers and you look at the things like mistakes leading to goals and all that, everyone thinks Zinchenko's right at the top of that. He's nowhere near it, you know. And what he does in the final third is really, really important to how Arsenal play and has been really important to Arsenal play. But again, I think it's really interesting that maybe we have moved on from that in the last few weeks, and whether that's a long-term thing, we'll have to wait and see. There's a really good piece, Scott Willis, who I use his stats sometimes on the channel, has done a really good bit looking at Zinchenko and looking at the numbers and the stats. And I think it's well worth reading. You can find his tweet on social media. He's done a good thread on it. But yeah, I get your point, Brian. I know, you know, Zinchenko doesn't tick a lot of people's boxes, but I think he's a good player. I think he's really important to Arsenal. I'm not saying he has to start every game by any means. You know, at the moment, I don't think he really needs to come back in, but I think he's a really good player to have around, especially over the next 10 games or so with the Champions League as well. And, you know, I think he's a very, very good player, and I can understand why Arteta likes him so much. Javal says, Charles, what about Charlie Patino? Should he be given a chance for next season? I don't think he will be. Again, kind of like Smith Rowe, I think Patino will probably be sold this summer. He was very close to being sold last summer. Ultimately, it didn't happen. But I think after this loan spell at Swansea, where he's done all right, he's had a really good start. It's faded a little bit as the season's gone on. The change of manager, I don't think, has helped him there. But I don't think he's really got a future at Arsenal right now. He'll only have a year left on his deal when he comes back. That's the same deal he signed when he was when he was a 17-year-old, basically. And I think for Patino and for Arsenal, I think this summer's probably going to mark the end of it for him. We'll have to wait and see. I can't say it for certain. It's just how I kind of view it and how I understand his situation's going at Swansea. So should he be given a chance? It would be nice. I think almost feel like the boat has been missed with Patino. I think there was a chance to embed him in and around the first team that wasn't taken at a time a couple of years ago, and I kind of feel like Arsenal have kind of moved on now a little bit since then, and I just think it'd be incredibly hard for Patino to find his way into this Arsenal first team picture and get enough minutes to really be able to progress and develop in his career. So I think right now I'd say no, and it's time it's probably best for Patino for him to move on. Final cup in here is from James talking about Tommy. Says, congrats Tommy on the new deal. I agree. I think the length of the extension makes sense in his situation for the reasons Charles stated. I was talking about the injuries yesterday and the fact he was only given a 2-year deal with an option of another. Regarding Kai's non-call, I think he would have just kicked the defender in the chest. He would have been good in Howard Webb's eyes. Happy birthday to your son. Thank you, James. So that was in response to what I was talking about yesterday with the independent review panel or whatever they're called, saying that Kai Havertz should have been given a second yellow card and should have been sent off against Brentford. Obviously James talking about the fact that Howard Webb says that the foul by, who was it? It was in the last minute of, it was Doku, wasn't it? When he booted McAllister in the chest in the last minute, and Howard Webb saying it wasn't a penalty. And Viru says, definitely injury record affecting the length of Tommy's contract. Think it's sensible. Does mean, though, if he's suddenly injury free, he won't get the price if he goes, but I think it's decent compromise with him. Hope he is careful with his international involvement. Well, he's staying at Arsenal for this international break, so he's clearly being careful there. Moving on to some more about the Kai Havertz stuff. Jeremy Namasea says, hi, Charles. The incidents panel is an absolute joke. I don't mind them looking at the Havertz dive, but there seems to be a clear and convenient forgetfulness when it comes to Arsenal. In that particular game, in two instances before, Trossard was dragged to the pitch, horse collar tackle, Gabriel's jersey was pulled so clearly and for so long, and both those were ruled no need for referee to review. Why is that? The mainstream media, Sky, PLTV, refused to talk about our penalty decisions, which we were clearly screwed, but focuses on Havertz. And Thomas Frank should be quiet. We didn't hear him say anything last year when they scored an offside goal in which an official forgot to draw the line. Even worse, the VAR was none other than Paul Tierney, who had made a mistake the previous week. Why did Howard Webb and his cable at the PGMOL see fit for them to place him on a punishment by putting him on the Arsenal game the following week? Fresh and fit on repeat says, did the panel discuss the first yellow card for Havertz that should not have been given as it was a mistake to book Havertz in the first place? And Nielsen Martin says, what a coincidence that the panel would say unanimously that Havertz dived. What happened to the many calls they missed when it was against Arsenal? Nothing was ever unanimous. Yeah, and all fair points, obviously. I find it, the whole panel thing, I find this really weird because it's not like, you know, they can't do anything with it. So what's the point in releasing these findings? They're just basically saying that, announcing that the referees were wrong again. But it's not like the findings can do anything. It's not like it's being reviewed and Havertz is going to subsequently be given the yellow card and given a punishment, you know, and have to miss a game. You know, he's getting no suspension for this. So I just don't see the point in it, really, and the fact it's been that it all comes out. And why has this one come out when others haven't? Because it was high profile, because it was Arsenal. I just find the whole thing a little bit weird. You know, I think Havertz did dive. I said that yesterday. Well, I said it at the time. I thought he was very, very lucky. But I don't see why this needed to come out and why this needed to be sort of leaked out to the media that the findings were unanimous that he was given a dive. It's just that he should have been given as a dive. I don't really understand it. And there's so many more bigger incidents that don't get this sort of spotlight that Havertz's one has done. And like I said, it might hurt Havertz now between now and the end of the season because more referees might judge him and referee him a little bit differently now because of what happened in this Brentford game. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't really understand it, but I suppose it is what it is now. There's nothing we can really do about it. All right, that's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for time. Ben, I've run out of time for this, mate, but just to flag it up, I will do this in tomorrow's show because I'm up to the 23 minutes now, which I am fully aware is pretty long. So I will answer this one from you in tomorrow's show, Ben. So don't worry about that. Right, thank you very much for your time, everyone. Really do appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Oh, I should have said, actually, for any of you who are still watching at the 24-minute mark, myself and James Ben just sitting down to do Inside Arsenal Extra Time a little bit later on today. We're going to focus it on the summer transfer window, given everything we've been talking about in the last few days. Me and James are going to do a bit of a special, kind of put our Edu hats on and act like we're ready for the summer and go through what we think should happen, who should come in, who should go, some of the big decisions that need to be made. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And anything you want us to discuss in that show, you know the score. Go down into the comment section, reply with extra time, and then your question or your opinion on it. Till then, everyone, have a very good day. I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.